In Ukraine, it appears that Ukrainian troops are aggressively attempting to regain control of territory in the southern Kherson region. President Volodymyr Zelensky and other officials in the area say that Ukrainian troops today made significant gains along the west bank of the Dnipro River. That comes after Kyiv's forces on the eastern front over the weekend captured the strategic city of Lyman. All these Ukrainian gains are in areas that Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday announced were being annexed into the Russian Federation. NPR's Jason Beaubien is in southern Ukraine. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Celeste.
So can you bring some clarity to these breakthroughs that are being announced by the Ukrainian army versus the rhetoric we heard from Putin?
Yeah, I mean, we are definitely seeing the Ukrainian forces on the offensive at the moment. We saw it over the weekend in the east with them taking Lyman, which is a very key railway hub in the Donetsk region. It was a place where Russian troops had been using the rail lines to resupply a lot of their other forces further south. And now today we're seeing a pretty impressive move, if they can hold it, by the Ukrainians to take back territory on the west bank of the Dnipro River. This is a massive river, and Russia has basically taken territory on both sides of the Dnipro River here in the Kherson region. And actually, the Kherson region is just over to the east of where I am in Mykolaiv. Mm. At points, it's 3 to 4 miles wide, this river. So by taking back territory there, the Ukrainians are trying to cut off the Russian forces on the west bank and isolate them and do a similar move to what they did in Lyman and isolate those forces and get them to flee back into to territory that's more securely held by the Russians.
Do we have independent confirmation about these moves, or are we relying on information from the Ukrainian government and army?
You know, we're getting some of this information from the Ukrainian government, but we're also seeing reports of this in Russian media and from Russian-backed officials who are basically the administrators in Kherson. So we are seeing this now from both sides. We're seeing reports that these moves have definitely been made by the Ukrainians.
So earlier today, Jason, we heard that the director of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, first we heard he was abducted, then we heard he was freed. Do you have any more details about this?
Yeah, I mean, this is just coming out at the moment. Ihor Morozov, he was detained on Friday by Russian troops when he was leaving the nuclear power plant. Witnesses saw him get blindfolded and sort of bundled into a vehicle and whisked away to an undisclosed location. All weekend, it wasn't clear where he was even being held. Russian authorities said that he was temporarily detained to answer questions. The International Atomic Energy Agency now says that he has been released and he's safely back with his family. But, you know, this is the largest nuclear power plant in Europe. It's regularly been getting shelled. Russians basically set up a military base in and around the equipment there. Last week, some of the power lines to the plant blew up because Russian forces had put landmines around them, and supposedly some wild boars wandered in and got blown up, and the base of the power lines caught on fire. So Morozov's abduction, it's just one more incident highlighting just how precarious it is having a nuclear power plant now in the middle of a war zone.
And you are, as you said, currently in a southern city of Mykolaiv. Can you tell us what life is like there as you walk about the streets?
Yeah, you know, it's actually really interesting. Pre-war, this was a city of about 500,000 people. Officials here say about half of the residents have left and are no longer here. About 80% of businesses are shut down. But what's interesting is there's still a lot of people out and about. This despite Mykolaiv being very close to the front lines. There are missile strikes here every day, often multiple missile strikes. And they're also now been getting hit with some strikes from Iranian-made suicide drones. But the interesting thing is some people are just sort of taking this in stride and continuing to try to go on with their daily lives.
Although, and we have about 30 seconds here, Jason, I understand that it's difficult to find clean drinking water there.
Yeah, so back in April, Russian forces blew up the two main pipelines that were bringing drinking water from the Dnipro River in to Mykolaiv. When that happened, the water system collapsed entirely. Now they've started taking water from another river, but this river is sort of brackish, and they're getting a lot of salt in it because it's getting water that's coming in from the Black Sea. So people are really having a hard time getting water. Every day you see people out and about gathering water from these trucks that are parked in the street. And there's great concern that particularly as winter comes, the idea of like old ladies having to go out every day just to get their drinking water from these trucks in the street, that it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah. NPR correspondent Jason Beaubien is in southern Ukraine. Jason, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Celeste.